Like I said, my lesson today is on discernment, discerning between truth and error. And so what I'd like to do is begin first in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, what does the Bible say here about truth and error? So he does give us some warning and some advice toward it. In chapter 11, and starting in verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So he's got false teachers out there, folk. Last night, I was watching the football game. I think Titans and the Ravens. And between the quarters, I was flipping through channels, and I came upon one of the Christian channels, and they were sowing. There was some telethon there where they were sowing the seed. They were asking for $1,101. Now, I thought to myself, now how did they arrive at why did they arrive at $1,101? Never did find out, because the only thing I seen was at the bottom is if you give this gift, your financial blessings will be more than tripled. And I thought, gosh, that's false teaching. That's part of my lesson that I'm going to teach tomorrow, and it's right there on the screen. And I overheard a preacher, I don't know if it was Preacher Jack, someone say that he wouldn't mind for 95%, wouldn't mind for the take all the preaching off television, because 95% of it's false teaching anyway. And that's showed me it's proof right there, you know, it's right there in front of us. And not only that, you know, we have false teachers, we have women teachers on television, we have other false religions, we have cults out there teaching. And even in our schools, we have false teaching. We have evolution right in front of our kids. We have kids in school right now which I think evolution is almost like a religion. They're teaching. They don't teach the creation of God. They teach almost evolution as a fact, and it becomes almost like becomes almost like a god to them. And they start teaching it in the junior high level, or at least in the high school level. They get it in all the sciences, biology, chemistry, and physics, and especially when they get to college. We've got kids in college now who are inundated with it. Especially in their biology class, any of the sciences, sociology and psychology, and any of those type of classes, they're inundated with false teachers. And I think it directly comes from the liar himself, our biggest enemy. I believe it comes directly from Satan. Now, he was the original sinner, and he got kicked out of for pride. He got tried to take himself onto the throne of God, and he got kicked out for his original sin. And but he's got false teachers out there. So I got to thinking, how do we fight that? What do we do? Well, what we need to do is get in this right here, get into the Bible and study it. And then I thought, well, what does the Bible say about it? You know, we believe here at our church, we believe in the King James Version, the old King James. We believe that word from the beginning to the end, it's the Word of God. And there are some versions out there that adds to or takes away. And I got thinking, I was driving on the way to church this morning about the old NIV, where it's really corrupted the Word of God. It's changed some, like a word from thee to a, like Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they changed the word to a. Jesus Christ is a Son of God. Big difference, isn't it? Huge difference right there, because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so let's get into the Word of God here and let's see what is this, how do we know it's really true? So if you go to John 17, let's go to John 17. I'm sorry, let's back up and go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, then we'll go to John 17. It's So what do we need to do here? We need to test them, don't we? We need to test our spirits just to, and evaluate to see if it's true. So in John 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a whole lot out there. Like I said, they're all over television. I'm thinking some like Joel Osteen, some of the other like Benny Hinn. Y'all familiar with Benny Hinn? I'll never forget. I've got a brother-in-law who's Church of God, and he in his church they had a caravan, like they had a charter bus. They were taking to Cincinnati to go see Benny Hinn, and they asked my father. They said, my father's name's Sam. He said, Sam, would you like to go with us? We're taking a charter bus to go see the big Benny Hinn concert. My dad told him. He said, well, I'm afraid if I go up there, I'll backslide. So he didn't want much of it. So I think that's Jimmy Swaggart, you know, all the female preachers, Catholics, Jehovah's Witness, all those. You know, we've got to be grounded in the Bible because we're inundated with it in daily lives. In our work or at school, we come across that. We flip through the television and there it is. But so how do we know what is really true? So let's go into John chapter 17. Let's look at verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is what we can rely on, can't we? We do know the Bible is the truth, don't we? Thy word is truth. Now, who's the word? We know the word is Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus Christ is the word. His word's in the Bible here. So how do we know that? Let's go back into John, first chapter. This is one of my favorite five verses in the entire Bible. Chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Folks, they don't want the word, do they? I don't think that it, and the devil right there has his folk here on earth are in darkness, and they're putting error out there. And how we combat that is right here in the old King James Version of the Bible, right here. When I teach the teens, I tell them that if they can, try to get in the Word every day. Find a time to get alone, you know, get away from TV, get away from your tablets, get away from your phone or whatever, and just spend a few minutes and read a little bit. And the more you read, the more you'll like it. For me, I tell them, I try when I eat breakfast in the morning. That's my time to spend with the Lord. I enjoyed getting a good bowl of cereal and orange juice and reading the Lord in the morning before I go to work or on a Saturday or whatever. That's my time because my mind isn't filled up with other things. So that's when I enjoy to get into the Word and try to rightly divide the Word at that time. So let's go on a little further. Let's go into Hebrews. Let's look at chapter 4. Let's begin reading at verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if we have trouble discerning the Word, God says we can go directly to Him, can't we? We can go directly to His throne. Not like Catholics who say you have to go through a priest, right? We can go directly to the throne of God. Amen. And right, it is. It says it right here. It's black and white, isn't it? We can go directly to Him. All right. So what would be the end result here? Let's look at Ephesians 4:14. It says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So if we get grounded in truth right here, we won't fall for any of the deceitfulness of men, will we? We get grounded in truth, especially when we're young. I think it's good for children to be taught by their parents and learn how to read the Bible and study the Bible when they're young, and take them to church, to a good church that's grounded in the Lord, and so they won't fall for this deceitfulness and error when they grow older. There's a lot of pressure on teens, a lot of pressure on adults. Because we have peer groups that we work with, that they hang around with, so a lot of pressure on especially our young folk, and they need to be grounded in the Bible right here and have good preaching and the Word of God right here. All right. What should we do then? What should we do? We must be able to discern from right and wrong. All right. Let's go into Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4 through 8. It says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Folks, we're complete in Him. If we get in this Word right here and stay in the Word right here, we can't go wrong, can we? This is the Word of God. All right, a couple more I want to go through with you. Let's go into Timothy, the second Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what's God say? It tells us to study the word, doesn't he? So we can rightly divide. One of the writers that I enjoy reading is Clarence Larkin. Y'all familiar with Clarence Larkin? Clarence wrote around the turn of the century, not this turn of the century, around the last turn of the century. And he was an architect by trade. But the Lord had really blessed him to be able to write quite a few of the books. And but one of his books is called Rightly Dividing the Word. And I get a blessing every time I've read it. A lot of times I've read a couple times and getting ready to read it again, because every time I read it, I get a little more, because he's got a lot of pictures in it and graphs and charts, because he was an architect. But one of the things he says in the beginning, I'd like to read a little paragraph in it. Right in the beginning of it, it says, "Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise in theology, history, science, or any topic. They are a revelation from God of His plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and human race. They are given to us as piecemeal at sundry times and divers manners. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit during a period of 1,600 years extending from B.C. 1492 to A.D. 100. The Bible consists of 66 separate books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. These books are written by about 40 different authors, by kings such as David and Solomon, statesmen as Daniel and Nehemiah, priests as Ezra, men learned in the wisdom of Egypt as Moses, Amos, a tax gatherer, Matthew, fishermen as Peter, James, and John, a physician, Luke, and such mighty seers as Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. This book is beautiful, isn't it? It really is. And when I teach teens, I tell the teens to get in this Bible right here and study it. And if you have any questions, ask your parents, ask the preacher, ask the teachers right here. But grow up in knowledge and truth of the Bible. That way, when our teens or young folk here, or even the oldest right here, has questions from people that may be in a little error, we can explain it to them. And that's really was my lesson today. Short and sweet, but usually if I have questions from the teens, I'll try to answer the question for them right there. But this was my lesson today, is discernment and getting this book right here, the old wonderful King James Bible right here, and learn it. And I wish I did. I got saved at 33. And I'm thinking all those years before I got saved that what I'd lost because I didn't get in the Bible. And the Lord saved me later in life. But if I was a man like I'm right here, the young men right here in the front in my class, and Ethan right here, if I was saved a young man, how much more that I could have knew about the Lord of God. And go sweeter and sweeter every day. Thank you all very much.